Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Greetings and welcome back. My name is Father Timothy Reed, a diocesan priest and a secular Carmelite from Charlotte, North Carolina. Today is day 10 of the commentary series on the Way of Perfection by St. Teresa of Avila, and it's great being with you once again. Now today we're looking at chapters 20 and 21 of the Spiritual Classic by St. Teresa. Last time, with chapter 18, we finished up the topic of humility, the last of the foundational virtues for a life of prayer. And in chapter 19, we began St. Teresa's commentary about prayer itself, which we will continue with today. So let's get started. Now, St. Teresa concluded chapter 19 with the assurance that any person can be raised to the heights of contemplation and drink of the water of divine union, as long as one doesn't falter or stop halfway along the way of perfection. Now, in chapter 20, she wants to explain this a little bit better, because as she says in the very first few lines of this chapter, it seems that what she wrote about in chapter 19 contradicts what she said in chapter 18, where she was trying to console those not raised to contemplation by telling them that God has made many ways of reaching him. St. Teresa quickly doubles down on her statements from chapter 19, repeating that God hinders no one from drinking of the fountain of life. Now again, this water is a metaphor for divine union, of union with Christ. It is a symbol for contemplative prayer. Teresa says that God will not force us to drink of this water, but he has many ways of giving it to those who try to follow him. Those, like Teresa, who have a greater capacity to drink of this water, are given it in abundance. Which is why St. Teresa experienced all sorts of mystical experiences in prayer. On the other hand, beginners to prayer are not given as much. As she says at the bottom of page 120, "From this overflowing river spring many rivulets, some large, others small, while there are little pools for children." And yet she makes the point that no one will die of drought. There is sufficient water for all who desire to drink of it. And so this is why she encourages us on page 121 to struggle manfully until you perish in the attempt. Teresa says, "Resolve firmly to die rather than miss the end of your journey." So in other words, she wants people to do all they must to reach the end of the journey, which is contemplative prayer, which is union with our Lord. Thus, in paragraph 2, our saint speaks of how to begin this journey, encouraging her nuns not to fear starting mental prayer, despite what others might say. Even if one fails to persevere in prayer, it does no harm to at least begin, and what little progress they make will give them light for other things. So don't miss the point here. If you are not practicing mental prayer now, each and every day, it's time to begin. It's through daily mental prayer that we start down the way of perfection that alone leads to contemplation in union with Jesus. While this way is not easy and will entail suffering, the rewards of persevering so far outweigh whatever we may have to suffer in this life. We just have to have faith enough to believe this. Speaking to her nuns, Teresa encourages them to be mindful of how they interact with their visitors to the convent, by keeping conversations helpful to them, by interceding for them in prayer, and by helping them in every way possible. She writes at the end of paragraph 2, "Let the truth grow as it ought in your hearts by meditation, and you will know what sort of love we should bear for our neighbors." So she's saying that the person who is faithful to mental prayer will be better able to exercise an appropriate charity toward those around them. Our prayer forms us and disposes us to be better friends to people. Now then in paragraph 3, Teresa goes off on a little tangent to speak about the friendships the nuns should have. She wants her nuns to avoid any type of talk that doesn't benefit the soul of the other person. She wants her nuns to be affectionate in their speech only as a means of disposing other people to hear more about God and about prayer. Teresa wants her nuns to live up to the fact that everyone outside of the convent knows that nuns are in the business of prayer, and thus the nuns shouldn't hide their feelings about God or refrain from talking about religious topics. They need to live up to their vocation, being devout in their character and their conversations, and being careful of learning worldly ways, even if that means that secular people think of them as being ill-bred. In fact, St. Teresa says that being thought poorly of is an advantage, because then no one will want to speak to the nuns except those who are likewise devout and interested in prayer and the things of God. Now, the point here is that St. Teresa is trying to protect her nuns and their good reputation. She wants them to avoid the worldliness she witnessed at the convent of the Incarnation, and she wants to limit any distractions that might disturb their peace of soul or lead them away from a life of prayer. Now for us, we need to give some thought to our own life of prayer and whether or not we are living as true Christians in the world. Is our language with others always edifying and helpful to their souls? Do the people we work with and interact with regularly know that we are Christians by the way we conduct our lives and the way we speak? Are we too worldly, too attached to the comforts and good things of this world? Do we ever immerse ourselves in environments or media that are not edifying or not conducive to Christian living? What kind of friends do we have? Do they share our Christian values? Do they edify us? Or does their companionship lead us away from Christ? Most importantly, are we resolved to pray every day and thus make our way along the way of perfection? Now, with that said, let's move on to chapter 21. Now, what I love about chapter 21 is that in it, Teresa gives fresh inspiration for us to pray and persevere along the way of perfection. She says in paragraph 1, "This journey gains such vast treasures that no wonder the cost should seem dear. Someday we shall discover that all we have paid was nothing compared with the prize it has purchased for us." Now, to reach the end of the journey, she tells us on page 125 that one must have a great and most resolute determination never to halt until they reach their journey's end. Happen what may, whatever the consequences are, cost what it will, let who will blame them. Whether they reach the goal or die on the road or lose heart to bear the trials they encounter or the earth itself goes to pieces beneath their feet. Wow, she's really laying it on thick. But let's remember that St. Teresa knows of what she's speaking. She knows both the difficulties to be encountered and the rewards to be had. And thus, Teresa uses this strong language to encourage her sisters to persevere. This is not mere hyperbole. This type of determination is what we must have if we're going to follow the way of perfection to its end. Keep in mind that this strong language is really coming from our saint's experience with confessors who told her to abandon mental prayer because the mystical experiences she was having were of the devil. Moreover, Teresa was living through the time of the Great Spanish Inquisition, and there was a certain amount of suspicion of those whose prayer lives ventured into the areas of mysticism, especially if they were women. Now, eventually, St. Teresa was liberated from the fears that were aroused in her by ignorant confessors. And so she wants to prevent her nuns from falling into the same fears. In fact, dealing with these confessors was one of the worst trials of her life. Thus, Teresa makes the point that we absolutely cannot fall prey to the objections of others when it comes to mental prayer. Now, as I just mentioned, in her day, some people believed that a deep prayer life was unfit for women, and that all they needed for a life of prayer was to say the Our Father and the Hail Mary. And St. Teresa is quick to say that founding one's prayer on the prayer that came from Christ's own lips is a good thing to do. In fact, she says, if one studies these prayers and humbles oneself, nothing more will be needed. But for those people who struggle to recollect their minds or meditate on other mysteries, Teresa says that it is good to have access to prayerful books to help. And in particular, Teresa writes on page 126, "The words of the gospel, which came from our Lord's most sacred mouth, have always been dear to me and arouse a more fervent devotion in me than the most carefully written and learned books." Now, in paragraph 3, our saint tells us that she is relying on our Lord to teach her what to write that will meet the needs of her nuns, especially as concerns the words of Our Father, a topic that she's going to take up a few chapters from now. Being as close to the Lord as she already is, Teresa's faith is strong, and she knows that He will give her everything she needs to lead her nuns properly in the way of perfection. You know, it's for this reason that images of St. Teresa often depict her with a book and feather pen in her hand, with the Holy Spirit hovering above her, a sign that her writings were inspired by God. And the fact that St. Teresa is the first female doctor of the Church is a pretty good sign that the Church wholeheartedly believes she was truly inspired. In paragraph 4, our saint renews her admonition that we shouldn't take notice of warnings people may give us about prayer. In fact, she calls prayer a royal and safe road. Now, in Teresa's day, roads in Spain were not good. The royal roads were by far the best roads because they were the roads traveled by the king. They were always in the best condition, and therefore they were the easiest to travel by. Now, of course, in making foundations all over the country, St. Teresa was very well acquainted with the difficulties of 16th century travel in Spain, which is why she's making this analogy here. And to point out the foolishness of those who would advise against prayer, she makes the point that the road of prayer is the road that Jesus and the saints followed. And thus, it must be the safest of roads. Indeed, those who follow a different road are on a much more dangerous route. And those who follow a route different than that of prayer are likely to imperil themselves and risk losing the water of divine union. So she says on page 128, "Take my advice and let no one mislead you by pointing out any other way than prayer. A want of humility of the virtues may endanger you, but prayer? Prayer? Never would God permit this." And she makes the point that those who neglect prayer are trying to free themselves from evil by running away from what is good. Furthermore, Teresa opines on paragraph 5 that if one sets out on the path of prayer, they will find someone to help them. Now, this is a mercy of God, and thus we should hasten along this path if we are to be true servants of God. As she says on page 129, "In troublous times, when the enemy has sown his cockle and seems leading all mankind in his wake, half blinded as they are by misguided zeal, God raises up someone to open their eyes, who bids them look at the mist the devil has raised to hide the way from them. How great God is." So we absolutely cannot fear that we will be led astray by following the path of prayer. And as Teresa says in paragraph 6, "Therefore, sisters, Banish these misgivings. Take no notice of public opinion. This is no time to believe everything that you hear. Be guided only by those who conform their lives to that of Christ. Try to keep a good conscience. Practice humility. Despise all earthly things. Firmly believe the teaching of our Holy Mother, the Church. Then you may feel sure you are on the right road. Wow. I couldn't say it better than myself. In those brief sentences, our saint has marked out for us the way of perfection. And she has given us some sage advice. Like Teresa of Avila, we too are living in a time when we cannot believe everything we hear, even from some of the church's own shepherds. And so we must banish any misgivings we have about being faithful to our mental prayer, especially the belief that we just don't have enough time to do it. When people insist to me that they just don't have time to pray, I ask them if they would make time for prayer in order to go to heaven. I mean, truly, we cannot expect to go to heaven if we are not practitioners of prayer here on earth. So following the advice of St. Teresa of Avila, let's all stop making excuses about why we don't pray and get busy praying each and every day. Let us be steadfast in our pursuit of the way of perfection by praying, by following only the advice of those who conform their lives to Christ, by practicing humility and detachment from worldly things, by keeping our consciences clean, and by believing and following the teachings of our Holy Mother, the Church. So that brings us to the end of day 10 in our study of the way of perfection. I very much hope you're enjoying it. And I also hope that these podcasts are helping you develop your own prayer lives. Thanks again for listening and for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we will pick up with chapter 22. Now to finish, let's pray the famous prayer of St. Teresa. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. May God bless you, and may St. Teresa intercede for you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support the commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Way of Perfection and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.